Well, it's been a tough summer for Massachusetts homeowners. The state foreclosure rate jumped 109% in June compared to the same month last year, according to the real estate tracking firm The Warren Group. Lawmakers and regulators have been working to help so-called underwater homeowners, those who owe more on their homes than they're worth. But a freeze-dried credit market is now also making it difficult for homeowners who aren't underwater, but who are still struggling to make mortgage payments. And here's the rub. Many of these homeowners hold a lot of equity, exactly the thing we're all told we should aim for. But turns out when negotiating with a lender in this economy, equity may not be such a good thing after all. WBUR reporter Fred Tice has the story of one Watertown woman's struggle.
Heather Blanchette has lived on the same street, Berkeley Street, in Watertown since 1966.
Beautiful rose.
One little one, yeah. I'm not much of a plant keeper, but thank God I have a neighbor who's a good one.
In 1991, Blanchette bought her single-family row house two doors down from her parents. Everything was fine until several years ago when she caught a rare virus that left her disabled. Still, she kept up her mortgage payments.
I was managing fine, and then I had kind of a relapse.
And a year ago, Blanchette missed her third mortgage payment. The bank moved to foreclose. She applied for a modification of her mortgage. She's still waiting for the bank to tell her what it's willing to do.
I feel like I'm on death row. I'm waiting for that no to come because I know they're going to say I don't qualify because basically I have too much equity in my house. They make more money if they foreclose on me than if they provide me with a modification.
Zillow.com values the house at $350,000. Blanchette owes just $80,000 on it. She was told that she met all the requirements for a modification except that she did not pass something called the net present value test. That determines the cash flow the lender will get from modifying the loan versus foreclosing on the loan. Stephen Freeman manages foreclosure programs for the Metropolitan Boston Housing Partnership. He's trying to help Blanchette.
Equity is the basis for the denial of the net present value test. So outside of that, we cannot say that there are other factors that are affecting the denial.
Freeman's organization is working with 20 homeowners with Blanchette's problem, all of them in places such as Watertown, Belmont, Newton, Somerville, Arlington, Wilmington, Lexington, communities where homes have maintained their value. Eloise Lawrence, a consumer services attorney with Greater Boston Legal Services, is also seeing situations like Blanchette's where banks won't agree to modify mortgages.
They will basically say, you have too much equity in your home. Their response when you follow up on that is, well, they could theoretically refinance.
But really, could those people refinance?
No. Given how tight credit is and given that these are borrowers who have obviously struggled with the mortgage, they are never going to get a refinance. It's really a pretext to say we're going to go ahead with foreclosure because we've decided it's in our financial interest rather than a modification.
No.
Freddie Mac owns Blanchette's mortgage. Yvette Gilmore is vice president for loss mitigation at Freddie Mac.
Is always to ensure home ownership for our borrowers. So with the influx of foreclosed properties for borrowers who are unable to maintain mortgage payments due to circumstances that are largely beyond their control, Freddie Mac is never looking to make money off of selling properties. We are looking in all cases to ensure that borrowers who can stay in the home do so.
Congress just passed the biggest financial regulations since the Great Depression, but they only go so far. Congressman Barney Frank led those reforms through the House of Representatives.
Where the banks have decided that they can make more money by foreclosing rather than doing a modification, there's no legal power to order them to the contrary. We have tried to work with them to persuade them, and the best thing I can recommend is that where people have cases like that, they report them to the member of Congress in which they live, and if we get enough reports of that, we'll try and call some kind of conference and see if we can do something about it.
Back in Watertown, Blanchette doesn't want to sell her house.
It's the only thing I have to give to my only child. Both my parents and my sister passed away two doors down. I'm safe there. I'm at home. My neighbors are like family to me. They do my garden because they know I can't do it anymore. They plant my flowers.
But she may be forced to go. The bank has scheduled a foreclosure auction at the end of the month.
That report from WBUR's Fred Tice. So, listeners, are you in a similar situation? You have high equity but still can't get refinanced. Have you had trouble negotiating with the bank? Give us a call with your story at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And by the way, a little news on this today. The White House announced a plan to help unemployed homeowners with up to $3 billion in mortgage assistance for 17 states plus the District of Columbia, plus Washington, D.C., including for people who are unemployed or underemployed because of medical conditions. As it stands right now, Massachusetts would be able to tap into one of those $3 billion, but they're competing with many other states there. So joining us now is David Abramowitz. He's a partner at the Boston law firm of Goulston & Storrs and a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Mr. Abramowitz, welcome to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here.
So we just heard that very interesting story from WBUR's Fred Tice, but help me understand here, why is it that we have landed in a world where having equity, having a lot of equity, which is supposed to be a good thing, seems to possibly work against homeowners who are trying to renegotiate with their lenders?
Well, you have to go back a little bit and look at the big picture we're in and how this loan modification program really got started. And it got started about a year and a half ago, because we had a tidal wave of foreclosures happening around the country, and lenders were not doing really anything about doing any modifications. And they came up when the Obama administration came in with an effort to deal with a situation people hadn't seen in 70 years. And it's a very imperfect system, but they were getting criticized on the one hand for doing too little, and on the other hand for doing too much for too many borrowers, because if you and I, the taxpayer, tried to stop every foreclosure in every situation, it would cost way more than we're spending now. So they tried to strike a middle balance.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, the modification program that's out there now mainly is for people who have ended up with the house price they're in dropping to the point where they can't refinance because they owe more than the house is worth.
These are the homeowners who are underwater, exactly.
We're underwater, and about 15 million homeowners in this country, you know, we are underwater on their mortgages. That's a huge percentage. Those were the toughest cases, or people who had lost income and suddenly were making payments higher than they could afford, but they couldn't go out and refinance anywhere. If you have equity in your house, and it was a really heart-wrenching story to hear, and we have sympathy for anybody in that situation, but if you have equity in your house, and if I understand the mortgage is paid down to $80,000 of principal, today's rates are extremely low, and the payment on an $80,000 loan today at today's rates would be about $400 a month.
Mm-hmm. And yet the person that that Fred profiled there, I mean, we don't know all the specifics
right.
of her particular case, but it seems she seems to be outlining the story that even with that equity and that relatively small mortgage, that it was difficult for her to get the terms renegotiated. And part of the reason was this thing called the net present value test. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So one of the things that was put in place, you know, when you set up a system that's supposed to deal with 3, 4, 5 million people, all of whom are in trouble at the same time, you and I as taxpayers wanted to be a fair system and all. And they came up with this notion that it started off, lenders were foreclosing even when it was economically against their interest, even when they'd make more money by keeping somebody in the house and modifying their loan. And you're going to say, well, why would they do that if they're going to lose money by foreclosing instead of by modifying? You have to go back again. We, the folks who were in power during the 2000 to 2007 era when this ran up, let a mill of loans be made that set up a system where the default position was when somebody couldn't pay the new interest rate, it was on automatic pilot to foreclose. There was no the guys who were collecting your monthly payments made more money if they foreclosed than if they worked something out with you.
Mm-hmm.
When the Obama administration came in, they tried to reverse the course, put in some incentives to modify, and it was still happening. So they said, look, do this net present value test, because it will show that in many cases the lender is going to make less money foreclosing than modifying. Nobody likes to hear when it works the other way, which says, look, if the lender is going to protect its investors or the government investment by foreclosing, it ought to do that. The homeowner, but the homeowner is assumed to have other options. The Federal Housing Administration is making loans to people who have new loans to refinance to people who have bad credit. We've got this new program they came out with today. We're not going to fix every case.
Well, and I mean, there's the argument that every case shouldn't be fixed either, because then the moral hazard moves to the side of consumers who, you know, may not feel any penalty for getting themselves into mortgages that they can't afford or end up not being able to afford. We've got some calls here on the line. Let's go to them. Lee is calling from Gardner. Welcome to Radio Boston, Lee.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm pulling over on the side of the road because I think this is a very, very important subject for your listeners. I've been out of work for 18 months now, and I've been working diligently with my bank, originally Countrywide and now Bank of America. And I'm one of the fortunate ones. We went through the process. It took over 4 months of a trial period for them to investigate my finances, our ways of living, and so forth. But we have been approved for a home modification loan, which is basically reducing my mortgage payment by over 30%. It's been very, very painful. And I've got to tell everybody, all of your listeners out there, that unfortunately the banks and the institutions don't really know what's going on. Mm. The modification people within the institution do not talk to the customer service people. There is no one file where all of your information is there so that you can talk to the institution and everybody knows what's going on.
But Lee,
I
can hear your frustration, but you also said that there's something of a light at the end of the tunnel, that at the end you actually did manage to get the loan modified. How'd you do that?
Well, we went through the 4 month trial period where they investigate all of your financial information. They look at your work history and your financial history. They make sure that you're not trying to hide any information. Yep. And at the end of it, I got a letter saying you have been approved for a home loan modification. We are putting you on a program, and basically it starts out for the first 2 years at a 2% mortgage. It escalates up to a 4.45 mortgage at the end of 7 years.
Lee, thank you so much for your call. Persistence paid off for him. David Abramowitz, your reaction to that?
I think Lee makes a couple of good points we should dwell on. One is there are about 400,000 homeowners now who have gotten to this so-called permanent modification where the system did work. They got through it. It was painful, but they've reduced their interest rate payments down to where they can afford it. But you mentioned earlier the moral hazard issue that people say, and I think we have to step back. You know, early on in the foreclosure situation, a lot of the foreclosures were people who took out subprime loans, and there's been a big debate, were those people getting in over their heads, or what was that about? Those people are largely gone. The folks who are getting foreclosed on now are folks who took out generally safe 30-year or 15-year fixed-rate mortgages. They had equity in their homes, they met standards, and then they have lost income, like Lee said. And in that situation, and home values around the country have dropped over 30% in just a couple of years. They've dropped almost as much, not quite as much, in Massachusetts. You know, you have to say, where's the moral hazard on the bank side as well? Everybody who's now facing this situation, values have dropped. It was unexpected. And to put it all on the homeowner is a real mistake. Nobody benefits from more foreclosures.
Well, especially when we're talking about people who, as you said, acted as responsibly as anybody could. And we still have, as you said, one in seven homeowners going into default, and possibly by 2011, I believe half of all homeowners with mortgages could be underwater.
An unbelievable. So I think the solutions, the modification program can only go so far. We need, actually, Congress needs, the administration needs to have bigger tools, because you really need some sticks for lenders who foreclose and not carrots. So people have talked about, you know, if I own a downtown office building and I owe more on my mortgage than I can pay, I can stand in front of a bankruptcy judge and the judge will make a fair deal between us and write down the principal.
But the same doesn't apply if you're a homeowner.
Yeah,
David Abramowitz, I'm sorry to cut you off there. We've run out of time for this conversation, but I'd love to have you back sometime soon to really go through what potential solutions could be. David Abramowitz is a partner at the law firm of Goulston & Storrs, and he was also on Governor Patrick's working group on housing not too long ago. Thank you so much for joining us.
Take care.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.